This is Ozarks at Large. The fiscal session of the Arkansas legislature opened today, and most attention leading up to the first rap of the gavel has been paid to the refunding of the private option. The bipartisan adaptation of paying for health care passed last year in the State House and State Senate by the slimmest of margins. Late last week, four Northwest Arkansas members of the legislature gathered inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio to discuss the session. We asked Senators Uvalde Lindsay and Bart Hester, a Democrat and Republican respectively, and State Representatives Charlie Collins and Greg Letting from the GOP and Democratic Party respectively, to sit down for a conversation. Representative Collins says he thinks it's much too early to know exactly what will be the private option's fate.
And in my view, it's just too early to start counting votes because we don't yet know exactly what we're voting on. The reason I say that is last time we took the facts on the ground, we assessed our options, and we wrote what I believe was the best plan of any state in the United States to deal with this horrific law, Obamacare. And in my view, what we passed, given the information we had at the time, was the best plan possible. The difference is we're into this plan, it's just getting started, and there's a lot more information. So, for example, what is the budget hit? Let's understand $89 million. Is that the right number or not? What is the uncompensated care hit? Our understanding that the latest numbers being thrown out are that the private option saves hospitals in Arkansas $200 million per year in uncompensated care. Is that right or wrong? And number three, if we don't do the private option, the numbers I had from before said that Obama was going to stick us with a 30% share on more Medicaid enrollees called the Woodwork Effect, which would add another $110 million to our budget. So if those numbers are true and we're going to hammer Arkansans with $400 million in incremental expenses if we defund the private option, to me, that's a big problem and a big challenge. But I don't know yet if those numbers have been vetted.
Anyone else want to step in?
Yeah, I'll go.
Senator Hester?
Yeah, I think I'm the only one sitting in the room that voted against the private option last time, and I fully expect that I'll be voting no for the appropriation. I think it's a very different vote this time than it was in session. In session, it was about policy. This time, it's about funding. Typically, the appropriation doesn't create a fight like is going on right now. But I think even in my shoes, somebody that's sitting here as a no, it's very different in that it's not just that the private option. We're talking about the whole DHS budget, which includes board payments for foster families and foster kids, and that's something that's very near and dear to my heart. I think that's very important. And we certainly don't want to set a precedence of shutting down policy on appropriations. I certainly hope that Asa Hutchinson is going to be governor next year, and we don't want to set a precedence of dealing with policy through appropriation.
Greg?
I would agree with Representative Collins that it is too early to be counting votes, and also that the private option was a terrific compromise and a very innovative compromise, and it's something that other states are considering doing. If vote counting at this point has a purpose, I think it would be to judge just what kind of changes and to what extent changes need to be made to the existing law. I think everybody would agree that if the private option is funded again in this fiscal session, there are going to be some changes. And those discussions have been taking place and are going to really heat up once we all get down to Little Rock.
Senator Lindsay?
I think that this session is going to be about a little bit of trust level. Do we trust the numbers? Are they the right numbers? I've looked at Governor Beebe's budget, and it appears to be sound to me. The $89 million in uncompensated care savings that he's laid out are pretty well detailed in the information that's been given to us from the Department of Finance Administration and from their budget folks. There's obviously, I might question that, but I do think there'll be some changes in all probability to the underlying enabling legislation at some point in time. Health savings accounts are prominently mentioned by some in the Senate, and there is no doubt but what that will get some airing. For change. That makes the private option a little more palatable. Some deductions in copays are being talked about. But I'm concerned that we get in there and we fight over the dollars again, and we end up with one or two votes short, and then the entire budget is at risk. And that is a calamity that the state of Arkansas cannot exist with.
Governor Beebe has mentioned that he foresees an $89 million hit to the budget. Some of you have mentioned whether those numbers are right. I'm interested, when do you hit that trust that you think those numbers are right? And if they are, where would that $89 million, what would happen to the budget then?
Well, I'll say right now, if you look at our current fiscal budget, we're $40 million in surplus. So that would take care of half that issue right off the bat. We have a surplus left over from the year preceding that as well. I think we certainly have the funding in the state to take care of those issues. My concern would be, do we take an $89 million hit one time, or with adding all these extra people to Medicaid, do we take an $89 million hit a year in perpetuity? So I'd rather take it one time.
Anybody else?
On the other side of that coin, you've got the opportunity over the next 3 to 6 years for the state of Arkansas to gain, if the numbers are projected to be right, and I believe they are. The state can gain between $600 and $700 million in extra federal reimbursement rates because of the difference in 70% match and a 90% match at the worst, 100% for the first 3 years. That generates $600 million in new revenue that goes a long way toward making this a package that makes good dollars and cents, in addition to making good common sense of needing to take care of folks that need help the most.
The challenge for me is I want to repeal Obamacare, but the only things we're able to work on are the parts that come after he's taken all our money. So the core elements of Obamacare are, number one, cut reimbursements to Medicare, that's health care for seniors in Arkansas, by over $500 million a year. Number two, increase taxes on Arkansans beginning in 2014 by over $500 million a year. So step one of Obamacare is ship $1 billion out of Arkansas to Obama in D.C. And then we start the discussion. And if we don't do the private option, my understanding is the feds will put people on Medicaid through what's called the Woodwork effect, who would otherwise qualify for the old Medicaid program, and our 30% share of that is $110 million a year in perpetuity. To avoid that, we go with the private option. Now, instead of being on a broken government program, these low-income folks are on private insurance like everybody else, and when we eventually pay our full 10% boat on that in 2020, using today's number of $915 million, that would be a $91 million hit. Let's round it up to 100. Let's round it up to the $110 million. What we're really saying is pay me $110 million a year starting now to do Obamacare Obama's way, or in 2020, pay me $100 million when we're paying our 10% share of the private option. To me, fiscally, that's a huge good deal for Arkansas.
Representative Letting?
I think, again, that the private option is a very innovative approach to a law that is widely unpopular, particularly here in the state of Arkansas. I would point out that recent polls do show that while a majority of Americans aren't happy with the Affordable Care Act, a majority of them favor fixing the current law rather than repealing the law. I think what we've done here in Arkansas is the right thing for our people and for our state, and I'm confident that at the end of the day, political reality is going to set in during the fiscal session, and the idea of taking health care for more than 100,000 low-income Arkansans, many of whom now have health insurance for the first time in their lives, it's just going to be something that we realize we just cannot do.
Moving beyond the private option, what else do you think will be discussed, or do you think anything else will be discussed beginning February 10th in this fiscal session? And I'll start with you, Senator Lindsey.
Well, obviously, the governor is proposing to open 300 beds, new prison beds, to alleviate the overcrowding in county jails. There's between $3 and $5 million set aside to provide operation and maintenance. Those beds are already in place. The capital cost has already been there, but we haven't had the funding to provide folks to run the prison system in that particular area. I think that will get some discussion. It'll be tied up in this, and additionally with that, there's $7 million in new money going to reimburse the counties for housing state prisoners. That is, as we all know, the reimbursement rate that Washington County gets, for example, is $28, but it costs about $60, a little over, to take care of that prisoner. So the county is compensating, if you will, or underwriting a lot of the prison care of this state. That $7 million is going to be in discussion, I am sure, along with this whole process of what do you do with private option. Is the savings there? But if their savings are there, that $89 million, then that frees up money to take care of those other things that are there.
Senator Hester, do you expect to see anything else come up?
Well, no, I like that Senator Lindsey brought up the prison beds. You know, we changed a lot of policy this past year and people on probation, you know, and holding them accountable to honoring their probation requirements. And I just feel like if we are going to say, hey, we're going to hold you accountable, then we need to make sure that we've got the prisons and the funding there to take care of that. So I'm absolutely going to support that funding. I think we all know that we've got an open lieutenant governor seat. And with that, we're looking at passing a bill that doesn't require the governor to hold a special election that could cost between $1 to $2 million. I think the governor's on board with that, and I certainly am.
Let's go across the Capitol to the House of Representatives. Representative Letting.
The bill that Senator Hester mentioned, I think, is absolutely a real possibility. I do believe the votes are there to avoid a special election. Given that it is an election year, that seat will be filled in 10 months anyway. A special election could be, a statewide special election could be rather costly and also potentially confusing depending on the timing. If it were held in May when we're going to have the regular primary, I think it could create a confusing situation for voters.
I think there's one more piece of legislation that may come up. If you recall this past summer, the Attorney General gave a ruling that questioned what the Private Security Board was allowing schools to do in Arkansas with regard to arming people on school staffs by getting them a private security authorization. And then the board came back and basically said, we're going to kind of grandfather the folks that have been doing it. We're going to go and hold off on doing any more. And the expectation is that the legislature might clarify the law so that everybody can be on solid ground. I know Senator Hutchinson has had hearings at least once or twice on that, and it wouldn't surprise me if something to clarify that situation came up as well.
I know there are two people in this room who would love to see more Democrats in either chamber, two that would love to see more Republicans. But right now, and this is unique in Arkansas's history, that it is as evenly divided and as close as it has ever been, the two parties, means, I'm assuming, tell me if I'm wrong, means you have to be across party lines, somewhat civil to each other to get anything done. There has to be spirit of compromise. Am I oversimplifying? Or was that the feeling last year?
I don't think so. I mean, I for one, think that civility should always be a part of the political process. But I do think we do a much better job in Little Rock of working across the aisle. Even at times, you know, in this past session, there were times where I might be actively trying to defeat a senator's legislation in the House, but that senator is carrying my legislation in the Senate. It is absolutely a unique working environment, but I think everybody, for the most part, does a great job of working across the aisle.
Well, one thing I always like to say about Arkansas is we're certainly not Washington, D.C., and if you put all 135 legislators together, all 135, I'd say 8 out of 10 questions are going to be about the same. And so we get along. There's very few issues that are really divisive, but those issues are divisive. But for the most part, I do pride myself in thinking that we're not Washington, D.C., and even though I'm going to be a note on this private option, I'll spin back to there. You know, I really think we're going to work out a compromise. The last thing that I want to see is a government shutdown or defunding of DHS. I mean, I'll do all that I can to avoid that.
So you do think that eventually I'm just picking on you since you're the one of the four here. You do think there will be a compromise that can be reached?
Well, I think you almost have to. I mean, defunding of DHS is not a good plan. I mean, am I willing to do that? Yes. Do I want to do that? Absolutely no. So, there's going to be eight or nine of us that are voting no. We're looking for somebody to find out if there's a compromise, maybe a policy change, maybe something else that can get somebody on board.
I think there's a great distinction between debating policy and being disagreeable with each other as people. And one of the things I think we do pretty well in Arkansas is as we get to know each other, we understand and respect what each of us is good at. And those things tend to be a little different. I was kind of joking a little bit before you sat down, Kyle, that when it comes to the rules and the budget, I trust Senator Lindsey's judgment about what the rules and the budget say as well as anybody's, because I think he knows it as well as anybody. And I could say the same thing for Representative Letting on different areas or Senator Hester on further areas still. So debating what is the right way to move our state forward and improve the quality of life for all our Kansans, I think, is a combined goal, but we do have different ideas on the right policies to do it.
I think while we may disagree a little bit about policy and some direction that we would like to take, there is always the element of working together, because we must work together to get anything done. Good things for the people of this state require us to work together, and I don't think any of us are sent to Little Rock to be negative or to be saying no all the time to all pieces of legislation. I think we're sent there to do the best for the people of this state, and that's a pressing order and a high requirement. And I think if there is conflict, it's not conflict between party as much as it is conflict between urban and rural, because the policy issues, what you need to have for your region and where you live and your constituents is different, whether you live in a rural area or whether you live in an urban area. And that's becoming more pronounced as we go along.
Senator Lindsey, I want to ask you, because you've been representing people from this part of the state for a while, both in chambers. You were serving before, when we truly had a biennial legislature, when we didn't have a fiscal session. Now that this will be our third one that the voters approve that every year, but every other year is a fiscal year. Do you think it's working?
Kyle, I think it is working. It's a work in process, though, because, like you say, it's the third fiscal session we've had. It allows you to fine-tune the budget. It's difficult. You're looking at a $5 million general revenue budget, or $5 billion, excuse me, with zeros. $5 billion general revenue budget, which is basically sales tax and income tax generated. But it's a $25 to $30 billion budget overall when you add the federal monies and the special revenues and the highway department and everything else in it. It's impossible for any organization to be able to fine-tune its budget and carry it forward for two full years without some adjustments. And that's what fiscal sessions were designed to do in a short 30-day period with a possibility of extension for another 15 days. I think the fiscal session is a good thing right now.
A couple of minutes left. Is there anything any of the four of you want to mention or say before we close this?
Yeah, I'd say on the fiscal session, I think it's important to note that, like, if we did not have the fiscal session and an issue like the Lieutenant Governor's office coming open, I believe we would end up having a special election before we had a special session to do that. So I think it's a good thing that we are coming back together, that we can address surprise issues like that and take care of them.
Senator Bart Hester, Senator Uvalde Lindsey, Representative Greg Letting, and Representative Charlie Collins all represent districts in Northwest Arkansas. They talked to me inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio late last week. The fiscal session of the Arkansas Legislature opened today.